Well, good morning. Like Rob told you guys this morning, we are continuing this series entitled Masquerade. And if you weren't here last week, I think what you quickly realize is that we have given this place just a little bit of a sprucing up. From the chandelier to the Roman columns to the roses and the vases and the lights and everything in between, the mask and everything that goes with it, here we are setting the stage to be ready for an elegant ball. And if you weren't here last week, maybe another thing that you missed is that we kicked off this brand new series called Masquerade. And you may be wondering, okay, what is this whole thing about? And where are we going? Or what are we doing within this series? Because this seems a little bit weird. And maybe that video scared you just a little bit, seeing people wearing masks all over the screen. But for us throughout this series, what we're really hoping to accomplish is this. We want to begin to look at those masks that we put on in our lives. You know, the ones that we put on to try to cover up the blemishes that all of us have in our everyday lives and in our everyday occurrences. The ones that, like we talked about last week, when we experience pain and even sin in our lives, our natural tendency is to put on that mask because we feel like there's nothing else to do but put on the mask and begin to hide from God. But what if? I mean, really, what if those masks were keeping us from living the life we were destined to live? What if these masks that we put on every day are prohibiting us from living life to the full? What if those masks are only temporarily covering up the problems in our lives and doing absolutely nothing to fix them? What if those masks were doing more harm than good to our spouses, to our families, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our own personal health? And maybe even to our ability to make wise decisions for our present and even wise decisions for the sake of our futures. You see, because in reality, when we begin to put on those masks in our lives, and every single day we do everything that we can to hide ourselves and to hide who we really are and to cover up the blemishes, we're not just hiding from God. The reality is that we're actually beginning to hide from ourselves. Or maybe it's better termed this way. Every single day when we begin to put on the mask and cover up the blemishes in our lives, we're slowly losing ourselves. We're losing sight of who God created us to be. And I feel like this morning as we sort of dive in and as you can probably feel the tension of me getting fired up and passionate already, I feel like it's only fitting for me to give a little bit of preface to this morning's message. You see, this morning I want to ask each and every one of you for a little bit of understanding and a little bit of grace. Because this morning, we're going to dive into some things that may hurt just a little bit. And what I desperately need you to understand is that standing right here at the middle of this stage, as a man, no matter if you've been coming here for years or this is your first time here, no matter where you find yourself on this journey with Jesus Christ, there's a man who loves you and who wants the very best for us collectively and wants the very best for you individually. And what I need you to understand is that here on this stage today is a broken man who's going to be speaking from his brokenness. And oftentimes the unfortunate part about a broken man speaking from his own brokenness is that it forces us to dive into messy places. Because my life is messy. I don't know about yours, but I don't always get it right. And I make mistakes. And I fall flat on my face far too often. And so as God uncovers my brokenness, he charges it upon me to share my brokenness with you. And so what I understand is there are going to be things this morning that are going to hurt, that are going to sting, and that maybe might even bring to the surface inside of you a little bit of defensiveness. And I'm asking you for something really, really simple. That as we dive into this message this morning, that you would wholeheartedly focus on three things and three things only. That you would focus on God's word and the simple truth that he's trying to reveal to me and to you. That you would take just a little bit of time to trust and focus on my heart and know that there's no malice intent, that there's no judgment, but that this is simply what I just explained. Me asking for your grace and your understanding for my own brokenness. And lastly, that you would focus on your own heart. Throwing out any outside distractions, any outside influences that you've held on for far too long, that have led to the same old excuses and the same old justification in your life, that you've looked to over and over and over again in society to validate the way that we act every single day and the ways that we hide and begin to lose ourselves over and over and over again. Because when we look to that, that's what's got us here in the first place. That's what got Ben Carver to the brokenness in his life in the first place. And so this morning, I'm asking you to throw all of that stuff out, to let it go, and just to focus on those three things in your life so that today can be the day where we stop losing track of ourselves. Today can be the day where we finally root out the problems that's caused us to change, that's caused us a little problem here in our life and maybe a little problem there. And those moments where we just keep blaming other people, we just keep blaming our circumstances over and over and over again. That all too often we have the tendency in our lives to sort of dig ourselves deeper by relying on these excuses and this justification and this validation from everybody else. But then all of a sudden we get to a point where we've dug ourselves so deep and we turn around and we wonder, well, how did I get here? How did things turn so bad? How did I become so lost? And everybody around us is telling us that we've changed. Everybody around us is telling us that there's some things in your life that need tweaking, and they're affecting all of these areas of your life, and they're going to go to pot if you don't change, if you don't do something about it. And we look back at them and we say, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking. There's nothing wrong with me. Nothing's changed about me. I haven't done anything wrong. And we have the tendency to look at our own lives and we don't see that we've been covering up and we've been hiding and we've been losing ourselves over and over and over again. And we wonder, why does this happen? Why is it such a frequent happenstance in our life to not know that we've become lost? To not know that we've put on so many masks that we don't know what's real anymore? How does that happen? And the simplest explanation that I can give you for that is this. You see, the reason that it happens in your life and in my life, the reason that we find ourselves not knowing that we've put on so many masks over the years and we've begun to lose ourselves, is because those who don't know, don't know they don't know. Right? If you're anything like me, in those moments where I don't recognize that I've become flawed and that I've made some poor choices and that I've walked down the wrong path, what I've become so good at is I have no idea that I've ventured off path. I have no idea that I have become so flawed. I have no idea that there's a heart issue going on inside of me. It's become far too easy for me to ignore it and cover it up and act like things are fine. And I don't know. Those who don't know that they don't know. You see, we've looked at ourselves for far too long with those masks on. That it's become second nature to us, for us to believe that's actually who we are. That those masks are actually who God created us to be. Too many of us have this inaccurate view of ourselves because we don't see what other people see. We've been deceiving ourselves for far too long because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Well, catch this. Making everyone else feel worse about us. We've told ourselves lie after lie after lie about who we were supposed to be and who God created us to be. We've lost who he wanted us to become. And many times we've lost ourselves all in the name of what society has told us we're supposed to be chasing. We chase it for success. We chase it for significance. We chase it for a better financial standing. We chase it because that's what my family needs. We chase it because we tell ourselves the lie. No one else is going to do it. And so I guess if nobody else is going to do it, then I guess it has to be me. And over and over and over again, we tell ourselves these things and we chase these things, and then we mask it with this. Well, I'm just doing it for God. Well, I'm just doing it for my spouse. Well, I'm just doing it for my kids. Well, I'm just doing it because that's what needs to be done right now in my present circumstance. When all we're really doing is we're killing who God created us to be. Y'all okay? We're killing who our spouses need us to be. We're killing who our kids desperately need us to be. We're killing who our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers need us to be, and the example they need to see when they look at us, all in the name of chasing something that society has told us we need to chase. In no way, shape, or form has God ever told us to go after those things. And the reason we lose ourselves chasing after all of those things is so incredibly simple. It's because we have spent our lives looking at ourselves through a distorted lens. We have spent our lives looking at ourselves in the way society has told us to look at ourselves, in the way that Satan has told us to look at ourselves, in the way that everybody else except for the God of the universe has told us to look at ourselves. And how we really begin to lose ourselves over and over and over again, and where things just get further and further away from who we were created to be, is that the longer we look at ourselves through that distorted lens, the more likely we are to believe a distorted truth. You see, that's why we lose ourselves. Because we've bought into the lie that we are supposed to look at ourselves through this distorted lens. And the longer we go looking at ourselves through that lens over and over and over again, the more and more likely we are to believe, well, that's not distorted anymore. That's just the truth. That's who I was supposed to be. That's who God created me to be. Those are the steps that I have to take. These are the hours that I have to work. This is what I have to do in my marriage. This is the amount of money that I have to make. This is how I have to treat my relationship with God. This is what I need to put my kids in. And over and over and over again, we live our lives through the distorted lens until we believe a distorted truth. And I told you, you're going to need to buckle in and you're going to need to hang on tight, because there are going to be some things that sting. And one of them's coming your way right here. You see, what we've become so good at, what I know about myself that I've become so good at, and I'm guessing that a lot of you will probably shake your head if you look really deeply into yourself, is that we have become so good at giving ourselves the benefit of the doubt, haven't we? When we look at everybody else, we see, oh my goodness, have you seen that person? Do you see the mistakes that they're making in raising their kids? Do you see the way that they're treating their spouse? Do you see this and that and that? But then we look at ourselves and we say, well, I know my heart. I know my motives. Like I'm doing good stuff. These are all things that are necessary for me to be doing. And over and over and over again, we become so good at flattering ourselves. We flatter ourselves. And we tell ourselves that, well, there's no malice intent in me. These are all incredible steps that I'm taking. These are all incredible things that I'm doing. These are all necessary areas that I've gotten involved in. And it's not doing anybody any harm. It's all good. Everything's going to turn out all right. And so over and over and over again, we flatter ourselves. And what I love is that this morning, we're going to start in the book of Psalms. And the psalmist paints this picture so clear in Psalm chapter 36. We're going to start in verse 2. And this morning, if you're following along with us, you can crack open your Bible today. I'm going to read out of the NIV. But if you don't have a Bible, that is totally fine. I would challenge you to follow along on the screen, or you can grab your notes page and you can follow along right there. But here is what he says in verse 2 about our keen ability as humanity to flatter ourselves and the damage that it does in our lives. For in his eyes, he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Doesn't that cut straight to the heart? Right there, right off the get-go. Buried right here in the center of God's instruction manual for our life, it becomes abundantly clear. He is talking about me. He is talking about you. We flatter ourselves too much to even detect or hate our own sin in our lives. And the mask that we constantly put on to try to cover those things up day after day after day. Have you ever heard the scientific sort of belief that when you smell or when you have body odor, that you are actually the last person to be able to smell that? You ever heard that before? Guys, it's very true with us. Women, you never smell, all right? You guys always smell like roses or potpourri or whatever you're going for, all right? But guys, for us, like when we stink and our armpits are sweaty and our feet are absolutely ridiculous, we are the last ones to notice that. Like our wives, you only have to like crack your shoe a quarter of an inch on your heel, and it's like, holy moly, who left the litter box up here? And the reality is this. The same is true in our personal lives. That oftentimes we have become so good at putting the masks on in our lives that we're the last one to smell our spiritual stench. That we're the last ones to detect some of the flaws that are happening in our hearts and in our lives. And what he says here is that if you cannot detect it, if you cannot see your own sin and detect it, there is absolutely no way that you can hate it. There's no way that you can get rid of it. There's no way that you can drive it out unless you first understand that there's something there, there's something going on inside of me that I've been trying to cover up for so long that just isn't right and it isn't acceptable and I can't go on this way. Now is the time to take off the mask and to hate it and to get rid of it in my life. And the longer we go on living life through this distorted lens, guess what happens? Day after day, we look at life and we live through this distorted lens, the more convinced we become that we are right. Right? Doesn't that happen to you? The more you continue to do something over and over and over and over again, the more you just believe that's right and that's natural and that's the way that things should be done. We become more and more convinced that I'm right and everybody else who's saying something about me, they're just all wet and they're wrong. You see, this is the truth. The more convinced you are you're right, the more likely you're wrong. You see, this is true in every facet of our life. That the further we dig our heels in, the more we fight back and we want everybody to understand that we're right and you're wrong and that what you're saying, you don't understand me, you don't know me, you don't know what's going on in my life, you don't have the right to speak into my life. I'm right. I know what's going on. I know my motives. I know my heart. You don't know anything. The more we continue to dig our heels in it, and the more we want to prove I'm right and you're wrong, those are the very moments that should be a trigger in our minds. I need to check my heart. I need to check my motives. I need to take a step back and maybe review what I am so passionate about that I think is so right. You see, we're not going to go down this path, but maybe the church has fallen into that category as well. But the more we dig our heels in, maybe sometimes the more likely we are that we're wrong. And we need to take a step back. See, these are the moments that we need to understand that there's a real problem going on inside of us. And we see this in this encounter between Jesus and one of his most trusted disciples. Jesus and Peter. Just a few days before, or not that long, just a day before Jesus was crucified, have this sort of encounter with one another. And Jesus comes before Peter and he says, Peter, look, I need you to know that I see something going on in your heart. I see this flaw within you. I see something that's just not right in there. And what does Peter do? He has the natural reaction that I would have and that you would have. He immediately goes on the defense. And he says, well, you don't see anything. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with my heart. I would stand with you no matter what, Jesus. And in Matthew 26, we see this encounter between him and the Son of God. And this confrontation that's happening. And here is Peter's response. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. There's nothing wrong inside of me. I'll always stand by you, Jesus. And then Jesus says this. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter digs his heels in further. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. There was this moment for Peter where Jesus was trying everything that he could to begin to take off the mask. And Peter said, no, don't touch that. Don't touch that. I don't need anybody else. I don't need you to see what's going on under there. This is who I'm actually supposed to be. These are the Sunday school answers that I'm supposed to give. This is who I've become. And we all know how the story ends, right? That there were heart issues going on there. And that before the rooster crowed, Peter had denied that he even knew Christ 3 times. You see, this morning, I want to be completely honest with you for a second. For the past 2.5 years, that I've been here at CORE. I've been failing us as a church. I've lived the past 2.5 years standing up here on this stage, never hiding my flaws, never actually getting serious about fixing them. I've stood up here and I've told you guys about the importance of rest and the importance of the Sabbath and how that needs to be a regular occurrence in our life. I've led from this place of, well, this is just what needs to be done right now for us to be successful, for us to reach more lost people, for us to grow, for us to be who God has called us to be, for things to get done each and every week. This is just what I have to do. This is just all the time and the attention that I need to give to it every single day. And because of that, I failed my wife. Because of that, I've set an example for you of what life with Christ shouldn't look like. Because of that, I've let my staff down. Because of that, I've robbed you of opportunities to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ by serving and stepping forward in the local church. And making this place more irresistible than what I can on my own. And guess what? Every day I put on this mask. And I've said, well, just doing it this way, continuing to go like this, continuing to ignore what God is trying to tell me. This is just proving. This is making me look nobler to my wife. She can see how hardworking I am. This is making me look like I'm sold out to the ministry, to my staff. And they're seeing what real work ethic should look like. This is me saying to God, God, I'm holding nothing back from you. And all the while, God is looking back at me and he's saying, no, I didn't create you to live like this. I didn't create you to act like that. And now you've put on this mask. And you have a group of people that are following you. And all you've done is you've taught them to put on the mask exactly like you have. And I'm tired of living that way. I'm tired of being that person. I'm tired of being that leader. I'm tired of hiding behind the mask and losing myself. I'm tired of compromising my character and my values and my beliefs. I'm tired of losing my marriage on account of that. And I don't know what it is for you. But I'm willing to bet that this morning you walk in here with some of your own masks as well. That you have hid behind and you have worn for far too long in your life. Maybe you're a workaholic too. And you just keep saying, but my family needs that right now. They need what I bring in. They need what I provide. Maybe you're right. They need something else that you provide a whole lot more than what that job is bringing in. Maybe this morning you're saying, well, I don't have a drinking problem. I know what I can handle. I know what I can do. There's nothing wrong there. It's just a little bit of fun here and there. I'm not a control freak. It's just that nobody else does it right. I'm not addicted to this, or I'm not addicted to video games. It's just fun to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and never get any sleep. I don't have a problem in my marriage. Things are going to be just fine. But the reality is somewhere along the way, without realizing it and by covering it up, we've lost control. And I'm the first one to stand up here and admit I'm guilty. I've lost control and I've done it for far too long. And so we just keep putting on the mask. We just keep deceiving ourselves over and over again. But God is saying, no, 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 I'm still calling you to find yourself. I'm still calling you to see yourself the way that I see. I've still given you time to change and to do things differently and to lead different and to be different and to stop putting on that mask every single day. It doesn't have to be done this way. In fact, I never called you to do it this way. And what we're all wondering is how? And God said, I've given you some really easy steps. So some simple steps in the right direction that I believe that if you start to do these things, you'll begin to find yourself again. You'll begin to realize that the mask really isn't that significant, that the mask really isn't that necessary, that the mask is actually detrimental to your life and to my life. And God's saying, what this is going to require from you and from I to really find ourselves is it's going to require ourselves to shed a little bit of pride. And to begin to stop relying on yourself to see or not see your flaws and your sin. But for us to actually invite other people into the mix to help us with this. You see, he's saying, if you really want to find yourself, first thing I'm asking is that you invite me into the process. That you pray. And that you begin to say, God, I need your help. I need you to point out some things in me. I'm releasing my pride of thinking I've got it all together, of thinking that I've done everything the way that it needs to be done, and I'm allowing you to speak truth into my life right now. That I want you to search me, that I want you to show me what needs to change inside of me and how to mold and correct what's flawed in my heart. And the distorted lens that I continue to look at my life through. God, search me. God, show me. God, work in me. And help me to stop living this way. See, what if we really began to pray like David prayed? You guys remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about David. And here was this man, the most powerful man in all of the world. And not because of his power, but in spite of his power, he was given this nickname. Does anybody remember? He was a man after God's own heart, right? And a man after God's own heart chose to pray like this. In Psalm 139, David says this to God, starting in verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, isn't this incredible? That David in this moment has enough humility to begin to shed his pride. And he doesn't just say, God, show me what's wrong in me. But then let's do something about it. Lead me to figure out how to take off the mask and begin to change that and shape me in a different way than what I currently am. You see, allowing God in is this first step in breaking down our pride. But then God is saying there's a second step here, that as you invite me in and as I begin to reveal things, I've also placed other people in your life to do the same. There are people that love you and want the best for you that you have spent day after day just blocking out. You've cut them out of your life. You've cut them out of your kids' life because you don't want to hear the truth from them. Because you don't want to have to change on account of them. And God is saying, no, I put them in your life because they love you and they care about you and you need them to help you. And as they step forward, That it's your responsibility that if you really want to find yourself, to begin to listen. To really listen to them. And I understand that this is a difficult one. But when we actually begin to listen to other people around us who love us and care about us, when we actually listen to the things that they're telling us, that God can actually use those moments to shape us into the person he's created us to be. That it's not all on me. That guess what? This is crazy, right? God has chosen to not even just make it all about him. He actually wants us to have other people in our lives to speak truth into our lives and to help us understand things better. He's saying it's time for you to listen to those around you. And I love this. Again, from one of the wisest men to ever walk on the earth, King Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31, he says this. Whoever heeds life-giving direction. If you've got a pen and you're taking notes, I would challenge you, underline those that hyphenated word there, life-giving. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. But those who disregard discipline despise themselves. But the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Now here's what I love about the wisest man, one of the wisest men to ever walk on the earth. He gives us these instructions that we need to heed advice in our life, but he understands what you and I know all too well. And that is that there are two distinct forms of correction, rebuke, that all of us are going to encounter when we begin to listen to other people. He says for a lot of us, we're going to encounter people in our life who offer rude correction and rebuke. They don't really love you or care about you. They just want to stick their nose right in the middle of your business. They don't want to do it in a loving way. And here he's saying you have to have enough discernment to know when to throw those things out and brush those aside and know when those things don't come from me. But that I'm also asking you to be able to discern when there are people in your life who love and care about you who are trying to give you life-giving correction and rebuke. And I think for some of us this morning, what we need is we need just a little bit of twofold courage. And you're saying, well, Ben, what is this twofold courage? I think for a lot of us this morning, maybe we need sort of this first type of courage, and that is enough courage to step into somebody's life that we love and to begin to speak truth into their life. To recognize that they are destroying their marriage, that they are destroying their personal life, that they're destroying their health, and that I need to love them enough to step in and to speak truth in a loving way into their life. And the second fold of that courage is that for all of us, we need to have enough courage and enough humility that when people who love us come and speak truth into our life, speak life-giving direction into us, that we need to be able to listen to it. That we need to be able to listen to it. You see, if one or more person that loves you and cares about you is telling you something, it's probably a good signal that something isn't right in your life. Did you catch that? That's a freebie this morning. If one or more person is telling you that something isn't right in your life, it's probably a good signal that something isn't right in your life. If all of your girlfriends are coming to you and they're telling you, that boy that you're dating, he is just a gigantic jerk. And your constant response is, well, you just don't know him the way that I know him. And sure, he yells at me and sure, he doesn't treat me very nicely, but I love him and I care about him and I see a different side of him than you do. This is the time to listen to the people who love you. Or someone's telling you that your teenager is rebellious and has a problem. No, they're perfect. She's a princess. They never do anything wrong. Listen. You've been tanning too much. And you look orangish brown and you sort of look like a suitcase. And you smell like burnt toast sometimes. It's time to listen and to take a step back. And the change. Or you've got an overspending problem and everything that you bring in goes right back out and more. And the reason that you're behind here, 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 and here, and here is because of the choices that you're making with your finances that aren't wise and aren't healthy in these other areas. It's time to listen. You've got a drinking problem. And I see it when you go out. And you think you've got it under control. But it's just waiting to bite you. It's time to listen. And most importantly, when we take those steps and we invite God in and we pray and we ask him to search us and then we invite others in and we begin to listen. The most vital step in all of this is listening is great, asking is great, but nothing ever changes until we are willing to change. You see, if we're going to begin to find ourselves when God tells us and when others tells us that there's something going on inside of you, there's a mask that you've been wearing for far too long, and you think that's who you're supposed to be, you think that's who you are, but that's not who I've created you to be, it's time to begin to change. And for some of us, that change is able to happen, boom, right here, today. We can make that change in our life right now. But for others of us, that change is a process. And it takes small steps in the right direction to begin to turn that around. And when it comes to change and enacting what we're hearing, nobody says it better than James. Check this out. In James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word. Don't just listen and so deceive yourselves. But do what it says. But do something about it. Make today the day where we enact change and we take off the mask and we stop the masquerade that's happening in our life and we stop losing ourselves and we stop losing control and we start looking at things and we start looking at ourselves and we start acting the way that God has created us to act and live. See, I believe this morning that no matter who you are, no matter where you came from, that this morning, God is revealing something to you. I don't know what that thing is for you. Maybe for you, you're sitting there. And you've been crossing the line over and over and over again with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. And you keep telling yourself, well, this is just the way relationships work nowadays. This is just how we have to be happy. This is just what it takes to make this whole thing work in the year 2017. God is saying today's the day to stop wearing the mask. You're cutting yourself and you're telling yourself that that's just the way that I deal with the pain and the hurt that's happening in my life. That's just how I cope with these things. And God is saying, today is the day to take off the mask. You look at yourself in the mirror, and all you see looking back at you is someone that's fat. And you don't see a good, healthy body image. And God's saying, that's not what I see when I look at you. That's not how I view you. Today's the day to take off the mask and stop viewing yourself through a distorted lens. You've got the happy marriage mask on. And you've told yourself over and over and over again, well, things are going to be fine. Our marriage is okay. Things will work. This is just a season in our marriage. But your marriage isn't okay. Things aren't fine. It's time to take off the mask and work on it. And begin to change things and begin to love your spouse better. And begin to operate differently than what you're operating right now. You're wearing the religious mask and you know all the right things to say and how to act when you walk through the doors of this place. but you haven't talked to God in a couple months, and you haven't grown in your relationship in quite a while. It's time to take off the mask. You spend 70 hours at work and 20 hours with your family. We keep telling ourselves, well, that's just how it has to be to get through. And God's saying, today is the day to take off the mask. And when you do, you experience freedom that nothing else can give you. That as you experience life through my risen Son who came and died on a cross to change your life and to change your understanding that the mask doesn't have to be worn. That's when you actually experience freedom in your life, freedom from the need to wear these masks. And he says it so perfectly through his Son. In John chapter 8, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, the father of lies wants you to hide behind your lies and the lies of the world around us long enough for us to actually begin to believe that they're true. But to him, it's just one big masquerade. We're deceiving ourselves. Instead of embracing the risen Son of God who wants us to experience freedom in our lives, who wants us to experience life to the full. But we can't be free if we keep hiding behind the mask. We can't be free if we keep partaking in the masquerade. This morning is the day to quit losing ourselves and hiding from ourselves and deceiving ourselves. This morning is the time for us to take off the mask and to begin to live and be the person that God created you to be. Will you pray with me? God, this morning, over and over and over again, I've put on masks in my marriage. I've put on masks in my ministry. I've put on masks with my family. I've done everything I can to justify myself and give myself the benefit of the doubt. But all the while, I'm just changing who you created me to be. And I'm living a life that's outside of the freedom that you want me to experience. God, this morning, whatever mask we've walked in here with, God, I pray that today is a day that we have enough courage to begin to take some incredible steps to find ourselves again, to take off the mask, to stop living in the masquerade, and to start living the way that you've created us to. God, this morning, I pray that we have enough courage to begin to invite you in, to ask you to show us and reveal the flaws of our hearts. God, I pray that we have courage to invite other people in and to actually listen when they speak truth into our lives. And above all else, God, this morning, I pray that we have the courage to begin to just do it and to make those changes. That begin to allow us to see ourselves and see the world and see you, not through a distorted lens, but through the perfect lens that you've given us. It's in your name I pray. Amen. This morning, as we finish, would you stand with me? And as you're standing, my guess for some of us this morning is you're feeling the exact same way that I felt as I was preparing this message. Maybe this morning you feel just a little bit punched in the gut. And you're a little bit dazed and confused and not exactly sure what to do. Do you take the defense? Do you continue to wear the mask? Do you continue to act like everything is fine? Like there's nothing wrong in that area of your life. It's really not hurting anybody. Or at this moment, do we choose to pick ourselves up, to endure the pain and maybe a little bit of the sting that we're feeling, and to recognize that God is attempting to speak truth, that somebody else is attempting to speak truth, not because they despise us, not because they want the worst for it, but because they want us to experience life to the full. They want something better for us. And I'm tired of trying to cover everything up and wear this mask and lose myself. Today is the day for me to make change that affects my present, to make change that affects my future, to make change that affects the future of my marriage and my kids and my family and my coworkers and the people who see me every single day. You see, as I look at each and every one of you, sure, there are flaws. But if I choose to look at all of us through the lens that God sees us through, He's saying, I like the face that I gave you. I like who I created you to be. Stop covering it up. Stop wearing the mask. I'm the God of the universe who knows the worst about you and still says, I love what I see. Today is the day to start living and changing and acting like we believe that to be true. This morning, as we finish, I also want to challenge you to a few things. If we can just change gears for just a second. That there are people who need to hear the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ right here in this city. And guess what? I can't get them here. I don't know them all. I don't know your family. I don't know your friends. I don't know your coworkers. But you do. And you have influence with them. And this October is the perfect opportunity for us to take a step towards changing our city. And I know it seems funny that a fun series like At the Movies, where nothing really has a cross on it and nothing looks like it's churchy, can do that. But I promise you that if you take the step of courage to actually get out there and take those tickets and invite people to be a part of it, that we will see meaningful change in the people around us and in our city. But we need you. They need you. God needs you to be a part of this. He's called you to it. And so don't allow one more opportunity to go by without jumping in and being on board and being a part of what this city needs us to be. You see, I've often heard this said, and I think it's so powerful, and it's going to speak truth into some of you who are wondering why we do At the Movies. A man that I really look up to once said this: if you want to reach people who no one else is reaching, you have to do things that no one else is doing. And we at CORE are committed to reaching people that no one else is reaching for Jesus Christ. And so we choose to do things that no one else is doing right here in these four walls. That's why we believe At the Movies can be powerful. And that's why we're asking you to join in with us. I want to thank you for being a part of part two of our series. And I want to challenge you to come back with us next week as we dive into what it looks like for us to hide the hurt in our lives. I hope that you have a great rest of your week. And we'll see you next Sunday.